If I ever had any doubt that Clint Eastwood isn't a sentimental old fool, it was dashed on my seeing his latest film, Hereafter. The more Dirty Harry ages, the mellower he gets, even though Clint with the flinty glint still looks as though he might kick the butt of every hombre down at the saloon on any given Saturday night. To a great extent, death has always been an element for any Clint Eastwood film, whether he's in front of or behind the camera. The expiring could happen on a street in San Francisco or an alley in Tombstone. Other venue possibilities, of course, are numerous. But with his advancing years, Clint's connection to the demising of the innocent and the guilty has changed, especially in some of his latest work, like Million Dollar Baby and Mystic River. Directing Hereafter proves Eastwood has been considerably readjusting his thoughts about death. With Peter Morgan's script, it's not so much how or why a character dies in an Eastwood film, but where he or she goes after, as an old friend of mine used to say, rolling a deep six. I refrain from using the term supernatural to frame the niche in which Hereafter falls. It might be better to simply put it in its own category, as a movie that touches the extra-natural. Clint has never been one to get grandiose on us, keeping it simple and direct. Matt Damon plays George, an honest psychic who doesn't want to profit from his gift. He's a longshoreman on San Francisco Bay and has put behind him connecting the living with their dearly departed, except when his exploitive brother Billy, played by Jay Moore, coaxes him into it. People are desperate to communicate with a loved one who's passed and will pay good money to do so. Cécile de France is Maria, an at-the-top Paris on-camera TV journalist. Eastwood opens his film on a truly stunning action-packed note. A tsunami smashing into a beach resort where Maria and her producer boss are hoteled up for a short holiday. Maria is swept up in the giant surge of ocean and dies, but for only a few short minutes. Her trip to near-death city makes her a changed woman, holding different priorities than the ones she had. Not so much the electronic muckraker after white-collar crooks, etc., and other items that might be found on a progressive newswoman's agenda. Marcus and Jason are 12-year-old identical twins in London. They live with their alcoholic and disturbed mum, played by Lindsay Marshall. She stays just one step ahead of the Child Protective Service people in order to keep her boys, whom she loves deeply. Marcus and Jason cover for their mom so they can continue living with her. The boys are extremely close. Running from some bullies on the street, Jason is hit in traffic and killed instantly. Marcus is devastated and pursues any avenue to connect with his deceased twin. Marcus starts wearing Jason's baseball cap. Frankie and George McLaren interchangeably play Marcus and Jason. They're truly identical and coincidentally resemble Ms. Marshall. So what we have here is a psychic longshoreman in San Francisco, a Parisian woman just undergoing a near-death experience, and a little boy in London longing to make connection with his dead twin brother. What more could a film ask for to appeal to just about everyone, whatever age, gender, religion, and culture? Hereafter begins with a bang, slips into creepiness, then shifts gears to reveal commonality in a distant way with Sleepless in Seattle. As the finish approaches, old covertly soft-hearted Clint warms it up in satisfying ways to messages that, no matter how much crap is hitting the fan in the world around us in our daily lives, there may be something bigger. Something that Eastwood and Morgan don't necessarily indicate as God or a God, but just something more important. The graceful closure to Hereafter quietly conveys, I believe, what's really important while we're still breathing. The guy with this voice hopes you'll get a fresh breath of air reading his many reviews at TulsaTVMemories.com or under reviews at IMDb.com. I'm Gary Chu, down in the valley.